You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, good morning, everyone, once again. This morning, we will be in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ruth, chapter 2. One of the good things about the screen being out this morning is you have to open your Bible. So open up your Bible. If you don't got your Bible with you, you need to remember to bring it. But pull out your phone. You can use that if you need to. But you will need God's Word in front of you so that you can follow along this morning as well. We are going to be continuing in our series on the book of Ruth and what is happening in this book. So Ruth chapter 2 picks up with Ruth now in Bethlehem. The story has built up and it's led to this moment. It's led to this place. And now the women need to eat. They're hungry. And so Ruth needs to go to work. And that's exactly what she does. She goes about life. And she does what she needs to do. And that means that she has to go out into the fields. And that's the title of this sermon this morning, is In the Fields. And what we're talking about is the fact that God works in each and every moment. God works in today. God works in the workplace. God works in the home. God works in each situation that we are in. So Ruth is at this moment where she has to go into the fields. All the while, she is a foreigner in a new setting, in a new context, with new people all around her. And so she bravely sets out to do what she knows she needs to do. And all the while, God is moving. God is working. The Lord is in control. You see, our God is a God of providence. Providence means this. The Oxford Dictionary defines it this way, as the protective care of God. The protective care of God. Synonymous terms in the dictionary are ideas like fate and destiny. Now, we know, and the original audience would have known, that this is not up to random chance or some sense of fate. Instead, we recognize the handiwork of the author. I have a picture hanging up in the student center, and that picture says, I trust the next chapter because I know the author. And that reality is what we are looking at and talking about this morning. God doesn't just work in the occasional moment in your life. God doesn't just work in the big moments or the major events. God works in the ordinary, in the day-to-day, and in the small details. We see a God who doesn't just interact us a few times in our life, but a God who is present each and every moment. God uses it all. And as I think about this, I am reminded of the fact where I have seen God use small moments in my life with big results. I'm reminded of a conversation I had while I was at seminary. I was there working with the HVAC crew. We had just gotten married. We had just moved to seminary, new there to Southeastern. And while I was working there as an assistant to the HVAC crew, I remember having a conversation that changed not only my life, but changed what our time at seminary looked like. It was just a simple moment. I was working. We were changing air filters, going around room to room, and we would team up in groups of two. And I was there with one of the older students who was working on his master's degree. And we had a conversation in which he kind of pointed out, I know you're new to seminary and all this stuff, but when are you looking at entering into ministry and all that? You already have a degree. Why wait? So we were new. We were new to North Carolina, new to seminary, just started kind of working there at the seminary, already had a degree, but I was working on my master's degree there while I was at Southeastern. And I remember I had, in that conversation, I went from a moment of not really looking, still feeling kind of not ready, to, okay, if God opens a door, I'll go through it. If you open a door, I will say yes to it. Well, within that same day, I met the pastor I would be serving under for the next 4.5 years. That same day, I met James. He was the senior pastor at the church, and he was looking for an associate pastor. And so after that conversation, I said, okay, God, if you open a door, I'll go through it. And then what do you know? There was a door. And I made a choice to follow God. And God used that in great ways in our life. You see, God worked not only in the big moments, but he worked while I was changing air filters and while we were just having conversations. Today, we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. And we're going to go through the entire text as we go. Right now, though, I want us to focus on verse 3. Verse 3. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who is in control, that you are the God who is present in our lives and not distant or far away, that you are the God who loves us and interacts with us, not just occasionally, but every moment. And Lord, I pray this morning that whatever you're doing in each of our lives, that you would help us to see what you are doing. Lord, it may be moments of confusion or moments of doubt or moments where we don't know what's going on. Lord, I pray that we would trust you as you are working in our lives in the same way that you did in Ruth's. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one, the first thing we see here in verses 1 through 3 is that the Lord directs. The Lord directs. Now, there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Naomi replied, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. Straight away in verse 1, we are introduced to one of the other important people in this story, that person of Boaz. We know a few important things about him right here from the text. We know he's influential in his community. We know he's wealthy. And most importantly, we know that he is related to Elimelech. And then verse 2, one day Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it." Ruth decides to go gleaning. Gleaning is a practice set up in the law to take care of those who were in need, to take care of those who needed food. It was a command to leave a portion, to leave a tithe of the harvest in the fields to where others could come in and harvest from what was left. They could take from what had already been harvested. Everybody had went through, there'd be a little portion left, and they could take from that portion. Kind of think of it like an ancient form of food stamps. There are people in need. God set that up in his law, and then he provided for them. It required work. Gleaning meant that you had to go out into the fields. Now, here's the thing about gleaning, is that it was very dangerous. Gleaning required the goodwill of the people's fields that you were entering into. Gleaning required that somebody was obedient to God's law. You're going into strange territory. You're going into a field that you may not know. You are dependent on the goodwill of that person. It was a dangerous situation, especially for Ruth. It would be easy for someone to be mistreated, to be looked down upon, to be hurt, attacked in a situation like this. And Ruth is from Moab. So Moab, just a reminder, is not very friendly with Israel. Moab and Israel are enemies. They don't look well upon each other. So Ruth is, as already mentioned in this text, is a Moabitess, a foreigner, someone who was different and prone to be treated differently by others, to be treated as an outsider or an outcast. So there's even more potential for danger. And then as we continue in the text, Naomi replies, "All right, my daughter, go ahead." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. as it happened. The Hebrew here is really fun. Ruth chanced her chance. From her perspective, as she goes out gleaning, it's by chance that she ends up in Boaz's field. But something else is happening here in the text. This chance is specifically Ruth's. The way this is worded in the original language really gets at the idea of fate. But we know it not to be fate, but providence. From Ruth's perspective, it's random. From God's perspective, it's design. And then once again, the author reminds us of Elimelech. And as I was thinking about design, I was reminded of the fact of how pretty Turkish rugs look. Right now, if the screens were up, I had a pretty Turkish rug for you all to look at. But I remember being in Turkey when we were at Ephesus. And when we were in Ephesus, me and my dad were on a trip. We were able to go see Turkish rugs as they were being made and see the finished product. And they were beautiful. Each strand, each thread had its proper place in the whole. And if one thread got off, it could mess up the entire pattern. It took a lot of design. It took a lot of work. Each thread mattered, and every small detail was important for the next. Each part was valuable. God is a master of weaving the separate threads and the separate parts of our life into something beautiful and into something that makes sense. But if you're looking from the perspective of the individual thread, you may not see the larger whole. God directed Ruth's life, and God directs and works in ours, even in the ordinary, in the day-to-day. So as we apply this, when you don't know what to do, or when you don't know what God wants you to do, be faithful with what you know to do. Ruth doesn't know what God is doing. Neither does Naomi. But Ruth does know that she needs food. And so she's faithful to do with what she's been given. She does the tasks that have been given to her. She is faithful with what is in front of her. Secondly, don't miss God moving in your life in the small things. So often we wait for the big moments or those moments of life that are extremely memorable. But here's the reality. God hasn't given you the past, and God has not yet given you the future. What he has given you is the present. What he has given you is this moment, today. Today matters, and in today is where we find God working. Oftentimes we can get distracted by what may lie ahead for us. Or we get distracted by what happened and what we missed from the past. We have neither of those. What we have is the present. So don't miss what God is doing, not just in your life then or what he did in the past, but what he is doing now. Even when life is normal, even when life is boring, or even when life just gets difficult. Thirdly, trust the author. God knows what he's doing. Even when we don't know why something is happening or what's going on, he does. So trust the author. Secondly, we see the first conversation here in chapter 2, and we see that Boaz inspects, starting in verse 4. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvesters replied. While Ruth is gleaning, Boaz appears on the scene. He is back from Bethlehem. And the Hebrew used here carries the idea of behold, look, or surprise. Boaz is here at the exact time, at the exact place that he needs to be, as Ruth is in the exact place, the exact time that she needs to be. Boaz has returned from town, and he greets his workers. He greets his harvesters. "The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you." Both meant as greeting, but ironically, both being absolutely true, even though they may not be able to see it from their perspective. The structure here in the text gets at a structure that really emphasizes Yahweh. In theological terms, this is called a chiastic structure. So that is a structure in the sentence that really gets you to focus on a point. The focus on the point here is directed on Yahweh. So just if you were curious about the random chance that happened earlier, the author reminds us that God is doing stuff. And he does it here in the text. So although that we may not see him directly, Yahweh ends up being emphasized as a reminder that he is working. This is a subtle way of reminding the reader and the audience that although off stage, God is definitely directing. Boaz, in normal situations, would come and he would inspect his fields and inspect his employees and those harvesting and those working. He would check out the situation, see how the harvest was going, all that sort of stuff. And then he would probably would have continued home to either prepare to help or whatever he needed to do there. But something gives him pause. In verse 5, then Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?" And then we have the first moment of interest. A young woman, hard at work. His interest is piqued. "I recognize my employees. I recognize the people who work for me. Who is she?" We're also reminded here that the word that is used is the word Nara. Nara is a young woman of marriageable age. So we don't know here, because it's a little bit ambiguous, if he's asking because, you know, he's like, "Oh, she's cute." You know, it could be along one of those lines, or it could also just be a reminder to the audience. Hey, remember that Ruth is single. Remember that Ruth is of marriageable age. Either way, we see that he sees Ruth working. She's hard at work. And then he asks about her. It's a reminder to the reader of what's going on. In verse 6, and the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes rest in the shelter." As in small towns and small communities, news can spread pretty quickly. And so Naomi and Ruth's return is something that is spread through the town. But it's also something where the foreman has a conversation with Ruth because Ruth wants to make sure that it's okay for her to glean on the fields. And so she had talked with the foreman. So whether through the grapevine or through the conversation earlier with Ruth, Boaz is then brought up to speed on what has happened in Ruth and Naomi's life. Ruth shows not only great bravery, great character, great faithfulness, but also great work ethic. She throws herself at the tasks that are before her. What's been given to her, she does, and she does it very well. So Boaz appears at the right time and the right place at the same time that Ruth has appeared in the right time at the right place. And Boaz's interest is piqued by a young woman he doesn't recognize, but a young woman he knows to be of character, a young woman he sees working hard in the fields. For those of you who are out there who are dating or you're married, what was the first time like when you took an interest in your partner? That first moment when you were like, "Hey, I kind of like that person." For me, Kelly and I, we grew up in church together. We had known each other for a long time, and neither one of us kind of viewed each other that way yet. But we had college, and after I had dropped out, you've all heard that story before. After that moment of dropping out, I went and worked at the grocery store, and I worked at the grocery store for 5 years, and I worked in the dairy department. So I stocked milk, and I ordered different products, and worked in the cold and in the freezers and all that sort of stuff. And it was while we were there that Kelly started showing up. She would get groceries and stuff. She'd be there with her mom. I would be helpful, all that stuff. And it was there in the dairy aisles that Kelly was like, "I really like that guy." It was all that milk stocking and all the other stuff. But what I found is that God worked in my life once again in the ordinary. It was in the small moments. It was in the days in the workplace. It was in the days in the grocery store. And that was where God led our stories together. And my kindness was something at the store, that something that had caught her interest. And she caught my interest. And I say this not just to talk about us, but as a reminder that God works in the normal. God works in the average. God works in the regular. God works in church and work and home and family and friends and your neighborhood, in the normalcy of life. And here in the text, God is working. So Boaz then goes to meet and to talk with Ruth. So as we apply this, in the text, we see that both Boaz and Ruth are people of great character. They are going to show different elements of their life that are things that are worth emulating in your own life, whether that be great work ethic, great faithfulness, all those sorts of things. Both of them end up being examples for us on what godly men and godly women look like. Secondly, notice God's handiwork in leading to these two meeting. God often moves in subtle ways. So my advice to you this morning is to learn to see the subtle, to learn to see what God is doing in those small moments. And I think that you will be amazed when you look back at the bigger picture. Thirdly, Ruth's work ethic is commendable here. You may not always know what to do, but be faithful with what you're given. And I believe that hard work pays off. It certainly does for Ruth. Point number three, we see the second conversation here in this chapter, and that is between Ruth and Boaz. And here, we see not only does the Lord direct, but the Lord protects. Starting in verse 8, Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Daughter here is a term for a young woman, but it's also a term of protection. It's a term of Boaz saying, "I will take care of you. I will protect you. You are safe here." He warns her to not go to other fields. There's no telling what could happen on those fields. There's no idea if she could be attacked, she could be mistreated. So she is to stay on his fields where she will be safe. And she can stay near his workers. He has told his people to treat her well. He goes above and beyond the law and also provides her with water from the well. So not only is he allowing her to glean, he's letting her stay kind of in the staff area, go to the different places where his workers would be at. But we're going to see that, and even in the future text where he tells his workers to leave behind extra in the fields for her. So he goes, he doesn't only abide by what the law says, he goes further. "I'm not going to treat you like a beggar. I'm not going to treat you like an outcast. I'm going to treat you well. You are safe here. My people aren't going to bother you. You have access here." And then in verse 10, Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." Ruth recognizes how kind Boaz is being. He is not only following the Lord's law, but he is going beyond. And Ruth recognizes that. And then once again, there is a reminder of her being a foreigner. Verse 11, "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." Boaz has heard her story, and Boaz protects her. Verse 12 is absolutely beautiful. Verse 12, "May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." Ultimately, she was not only favored and protected by Boaz, she was favored and protected, shielded by the Lord. He was faithful to Ruth and in providing for her. Then there is this blessing of being fully rewarded for her faithfulness, which neither one of them fully grasp at the moment, but God is already doing that, already working towards that end. And then in verse 13, "I hope I continue to please you, sir," she replied. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not one of your workers." Ruth shows gratitude and thankfulness for Boaz. She is a woman defined by faithfulness, defined by humility, defined by a strong work ethic, someone who is unwavering. And here then is where the story turns for the better. As we think about this, we have this reality that when you think about protection, one of the things I thought of was mama birds. Has anybody seen a mama bird on a nest, right? A mama bird on a nest will do a lot to guard its nest. There's a lot of preparation as it builds its nest. It guards and takes care of its young. It will sit and stay on the nest, making sure the eggs are warm. It will defend its children. The mama birds take care of their own. And here in the text, God is described in this way. Ruth has found shelter under his wings, and God's wings are strong. That is a place of refuge, a place of defense, and there is no better defense than him. The Lord is our strength and our shield. In the Old Testament, one of the names given to God is Jehovah Magan. The Lord is my shield. We see this in the Psalms. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. As we apply this, just as the Lord was a shield for Ruth, the Lord is a shield for you. He is a place where you can run to when life gets hard, when things get difficult. He is the place where you can find refuge. You can run to him. Secondly, we can trust his plans. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, but his way is always better. Even when we don't understand it, even when that way is difficult, even when his way leads into moments of risk or danger or uncertainty, following the will of the Lord is always the right place for you to be, even if it doesn't make sense at the time. Today, how is the Lord speaking and moving in your life? How is the Lord wanting you to respond this morning? Maybe this is a moment of choice for you. In God's providence, he has directed you to this place this morning to hear this message. I believe there is something that he is doing in your life, and there's something that you needed to hear. Maybe this is a moment where God would have your life change, the direction and yet you are going be a new direction. Maybe you need to decide to follow Christ today. Maybe this is a reminder that God isn't done in your story either. God is faithful. And many of you are facing difficult moments, situations of trial, situations where you don't know the answer. My prayer is that you would trust him and believe that he is working in your life and in your story. Today, the altar will be open. I'm going to ask Brother Barry, is he here this morning? Nope, I don't see him. Well, I will be here at the altar. I will be available to talk with you. We are going to have a time of invitation and a time of response. So respond however he would lead you. If that's church membership, baptism, following the Lord, I pray that you would be obedient to whatever he is doing in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our God.